I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 3rd of November. We're going to be talking about early voting, in-person absentee, vote-by-mail, same-day registration, automatic registration. For the first part of this hour, I voted early for the first time in my life. I always like to go on Election Day. It's just tradition, but I'm trying to ease the stress of voting on Election Day, working Election Day, and covering the returns, which will take me into the wee hours of the morning, so you don't want a day to be too busy. We have covered for the rest of this hour so many, many shows on this election. We focused on the election for a year and a half. Can you believe it? A year and a half. Much too long, I know. I was struck by the comment from the BBC Washington Election Bureau chief who was with us last week saying people in Britain complain about the length of their elections. 5 weeks, and that has stuck with me. Just 5 weeks and they're complaining. Now we're just days away from the election, and we really wanted to open the lines to you a little bit later in the show to hear your final thoughts. And some of them I'm sure will be profound. Have you voted? What are your deepest concerns about the candidates? What gives you the most hope about the candidates? What can we do to make these elections just a wee bit shorter? Think about your answers. We'll be opening phone lines completely to you. Just want to hear your thoughts just a few days before this election. I was following Twitter. I'm pretty obsessed with politics, and I watch this, and I'm following all the news feeds and the Twitter feeds. And last night, of course, was the final game of the World Series. The game tied in the eighth. The Cubs pitching a scoreless ninth, sending the game to extra innings, and then it rained. And then I said to my husband, let's just call it a tie. But so many people were sending messages comparing this to our political season and what they think may happen next Tuesday. Who knows? A tie? Who knows? It was a great series. So I must, because I'm with a baseball family, congratulate the Cubs. I am Chicago born and raised, a White Sox fan as a kid, but I fully understand the incredibly patient and loyal Cubs fans, and congratulations to them. So let's get rolling, okay? Let me give you our phone number. Keep it in mind because this hour will go to you, you the voter, as we proceed through the hour. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and Twitter is @KDunnShow. Sarah Smith is with us. She's a reporting fellow at ProPublica. She previously interned at the Philadelphia Inquirer, graduated recently from the University of Pennsylvania, and she wrote a very interesting piece, Which Voters Show Up When States Allow Early Voting, and we're going to be talking about that. Sarah, thanks so much for being with us. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm always amazed how many people do early voting, and the number keeps going up year by year. I did it, as I said, for the first time in my life this morning, actually. But a lot of people vote early, don't they?
Yeah, I actually did my very first early vote this year, too, because I was afraid that I wouldn't have time to make it out to the polls on Election Day. But actually, this past presidential election in 2012, a full one-third of eligible voters used some various early voting methods, so they didn't have to actually go to the polls and stand in line on Election Day.
That's a lot of voters, one-third of voters. And tell me, what does it do to the overall turnout? Does it make it much more likely that people will vote? Does it up the numbers a lot?
So the general consensus among researchers is that it overall increases turnout by 2 to 4%, but it depends a lot on what state you're in and what kind of ground game each campaign is running to let people know that there are early voting options and to make sure that all these early voters can actually get to the polls.
Mm-hmm. And there are 37 states, your article says, that offer voters some way to cast ballots early and avoid lining up. The other states, you have to go in line on Election Day?
Yeah. You have to, 37 states at this moment offer some form of early voting. Otherwise, you have to go stand in line on next Tuesday with everybody else.
And tell me about early voting, and it's becoming somewhat controversial. Why?
Early voting, actually, this surprised me when I was researching this article. It started in the 1980s when the first states to do it were California, Oregon, and Washington, when they said there's no excuse absentee voting, so if I want to vote absentee, I can just say I want to vote absentee, and I don't have to provide a reason. But it has been getting controversial in recent years, so, and often, to be honest, that's just more purely political. So North Carolina tried to pass laws in the past few years that would severely restrict early voting. And this one Republican consultant pretty much acknowledged that it was a political thing. He said, look, if African Americans voted overwhelmingly Republican, they would have kept early voting right where it was. It wasn't about discriminating against African Americans. They just ended up in the middle of it because they vote Democrat. And those restrictions were actually overturned by a federal judge.
I've been reading today that North Carolina is having some problems with purging of voter rolls. There are some suits against the state today, aren't there?
Yes, they're embroiled in a few lawsuits, actually. They haven't had a very smooth year when it comes to election litigation. But the current lawsuit was just filed by the NAACP, and so they allege that people are being purged from the voter rolls after just one piece of mail is returned as undeliverable to their address. And so they're saying, oh, no, this can happen for a number of reasons. Like, there's this one example that's been circulating of the 100-year-old woman who lives in North Carolina who was purged because she gets her mail delivered to the post office, not to her address where she actually lives. But she is registered to vote. She should be able to vote. Mm. And they're also saying that maybe if I move from one Main Street to two Main Street, I'm still in the same county and I shouldn't be purged from the rolls.
Tell me what happens in the states that you write about, Oregon, Washington, and Colorado, that conduct elections entirely by mail. Does that up the turnout, and do they have problems with people who move frequently, keeping up with their addresses?
Yeah, really interesting question. So right after the vote-by-mail laws were first passed, there was a huge jump in turnout, according to the studies. It was ranging from 10 to 19%. More recently, there was just more of a 5% impact as somewhat of the novelty of the law wore off and people who were going to vote by mail had already registered to do so. And registering to vote by mail is no more complicated than updating your voter roll registration. Mm-hmm. If I move to cast my ballot in person, I have to update my address as well. No more complicated to do that for a vote-by-mail ballot.
And tell me about voter automatic registration. I guess 5 states have this. How does that work?
So automatic registration, the idea behind that is to take the burden off the voter to go find online or in person how to get yourself registered. So the idea is that when I come into contact with some government service, most often it's a DMV, they'll automatically register you to vote unless you tell them, no, please don't register me to vote. And there's 5 states that recently approved it, but 29 states and D.C. currently have bills pending that would implement automatic voter registration. So I imagine it's something we'll see very much on the rise in the next few years.
Mm. Are you surprised that those weren't enacted before this presidential election?
I am surprised that people didn't push that through sooner, but there's only so much you can do close to an election, and courts really, really don't have a tendency to uphold election law changes that are very close to an election. Mm-hmm. There has to be a very good reason for them to change something very close.
Somehow I thought there were more states that did this than just 13 states plus the District of Columbia. Same-day registration.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought it was more, too, before I was researching this. So the idea behind that is if you didn't register, you just moved somewhere and you realize, oh, I want to go vote, you can show up actually on election day or in some states early voting days, and you register and cast your ballot on the same day. And you'll have to generally bring some form of an identification, some form of a proof of residency, and that can be in the form of your utility bill or a paycheck with your current address on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that also, like automatic registration, will take some of the burden off the voter of having to go through the process of registering and then going to vote. So the idea is to get more people to be able to go to the polls.
You have an interesting fact here. African American voters accounted for 35% of those who used same-day registration in 2012, although African Americans made up 22% of the electorate.
Yes, and so depending on which state, some of these early voting or same-day registration tactics can really increase minority turnout. So in Florida, for example, in-person absentee voting, which sounds super confusing, but is actually easy. You get a ballot early, and then you walk it in person to a designated polling area. In Florida in 2008, African Americans were much more likely to cast an in-person absentee ballot than white voters. Like, they only made up 13% of registered voters that year. Mm-hmm. They cast 22% of in-person absentee votes.
Mm. And what about just absentee voting? You talk about the fact that 27 states let people vote absentee without providing a reason. In the other states, you have to have a reason, and what would that reason be?
Oh, that could be a variety of things. Like, I'll be out of there's military service, out of the city, something like that. Like, it's very dependent on the state what options they'll give you.
Mm. We are going to welcome phone calls for you. You'll be with us for a few more minutes, and then we're opening the phone lines. What are your thoughts these just few days before the election? What has struck you about this whole election? What has enlightened you, inspired you, disgusted you? We'd love to hear from you, because we're all thinking election, at least some of us, all the time. This happened to me today, too. I thought about it. Maybe they were getting them out, and I forgot to ask, and I was halfway to work before I remembered that Mina sent this email or sent this message on Facebook saying, I voted early for the first time this year and disappointed that I didn't get one of those I voted stickers. I didn't get one either. I'm disappointed. I love
one.
Those. You did?
I did. I voted early in New York, and they had a roll of them, and I asked, may I please have one?
I should have asked. I feel badly.
You have to affirmatively ask, I think, if you're doing it early, but I was very adamant about getting my sticker.
So you're wearing it proudly?
I am. I have it tacked up on my desk, actually.
Oh, you do? Good for you. Let's go to Chris in Appleton. Hello, Chris.
Hi. I have some exciting news. My husband was injured, and I'm just picking him up from the hospital now.
Oh.
And we also always voted on Election Day because it was exciting, but we now have to vote early because he wouldn't be able to stand in line. And I called the town of Grand Chute where we vote, and they have what they call as curbside voting. So I can go in and vote, and then someone comes out with me with his ballot, and he can vote from the car. So I'm just thrilled. I thought I'd share that.
That's wonderful.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know if that's widespread, but it's certainly worth checking in with your city hall.
Well, and he has to have his ID and everything. So.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, so there.
Thank
you.
All right,
yeah.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. That's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah, very. And there's a lot of places will have that, especially for elderly voters who are in nursing homes. The ballot box will essentially come to them.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, do you think we're going to reach a point, and would it behoove us to do so, for all of us to have the same kind of system for voting in this country, every state?
See, that's an interesting question, because I've been seeing a lot of that going around lately, especially in regards to all this rigged election talk. And there's this great piece. I want to say it was a Fox piece. It's almost impossible to rig an American election because there's just so many voting systems.
Right.
Honestly, I think it would be difficult, because if you think about it, you have the town vote and the what you're voting for, like your town selectmen and your city government and up to your state and then the federal. It just sounds like it would be too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It would be. It is, I think, very important that we update our across the country update our election machines. There was a report put out by the Brennan Center a couple years back that over half the voting machines in this country are in danger of failing, and that's what could put us in a situation like Florida in 2000.
Over half of them? They're what? They're very old?
They're very old. Yes.
Ooh, that's kind of a scary thought, isn't it?
It is. It's a very scary study.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Sarah, very much. Is there anything we didn't talk to you about that's part of your study?
No.
You want to add?
This was really fun for me. Thank you so much for
having
me on.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks, Sarah. It was fun for us, too. Thanks for doing the reporting. We'll put her piece on our Facebook page, too. Sarah Smith is a reporting fellow at ProPublica. She was an intern at the Philadelphia Inquirer, recent graduate from the University of Pennsylvania. Her piece, which grabbed our eyes, Which Voters Show Up When States Allow Early Voting? 1/3 of voters took advantage of early voting options in 2012. Does so-called convenience voting increase turnout overall and minority turnout in particular. Well, we're only a few days now from the election, and as we said earlier, we've been covering this so thoroughly, not only on All Things Political each Monday, but lots and lots of conversations about election. We covered all of the primaries and all of the candidates very extensively, and now here we are, and it's about time for people to vote. Some of you have voted already. It's been one wild election, and you have been there with us for all of it, and we thought we'd love to hear from you for the remaining part of this hour. So we're going to open the phone lines, and the questions are, what are you going to take away from this election? Are you happy with your choices? What do you think? Were you supporting somebody else during the primary, and are you now enthusiastically supporting another candidate? We just want to hear from you. And I think we're going to just move along. No real long comments, but we'll listen to as many of you as we can. And here's how you call us, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Or you can send us an email, that's talk@wpr.org. Also, you can leave messages for us on our Facebook page, where if you like us, you'll know about upcoming shows, which is worthwhile because we have some great shows coming up. And that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to your phone calls. What are you thinking? Close to the election. Give us your most profound thoughts about all we have been through. 800-486-8655 is our number. We start with Brian in Waukesha. Hi, Brian.
Hello, how are you?
Fine. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
Well, I guess I wanted to say I'm not really happy with the choices, and if I had my way, what we would do is we'd have the FCC would make all the television and cable outlets give a certain amount of coverage to the candidates. That way we wouldn't have this extreme amount of money in there, and we'd have more candidates from common folks instead of just millionaires and billionaires.
Mm. There is so much money involved, isn't there? It will be interesting to see what happens to Citizens United in the future.
It would seem that that so many millions are spent, if as a part of getting their license, the FCC would only grant the license if, with the understanding they had to put some airtime toward the certain amount for the politicians who, you know, get their level of petitions or whatever it takes to get to a certain level to where they all get funding, and we'd hear from a wider spectrum of people in the United States instead of just the elite.
Yeah.
So that was my comment.
Are you going to vote, Brian?
I certainly am.
Okay. You want to talk about your choice here, or was it laborious?
I don't like my choices. I don't. No. I don't want to throw away my vote. I may flip a coin.
Really?
Tough. It's just disgusting.
Flipping a coin? Woo!
Ah.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
You got it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Carolyn Marinette, hi.
Hi. I'm going to just state this, and then I'm going to hang up and take your comments off the air. I voted up here today, and I was very surprised to see Donald Trump was at the top of the ballot and Clinton was underneath. I know that she got more votes than he did. I don't know about my particular area, but C comes before T in the alphabet. Democrat D comes before R in the alphabet. And I was just really surprised to see him on the top.
I didn't think about that. I voted today as well and saw that, but didn't even think about it until you just said this. So, all right.
I didn't know if it was just my area or all over the state.
It was my area, too, Milwaukee area. So,
okay, thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Carol. Thanks very much for the call. Is that bothersome to any of the rest of you, what Carol just had to say? Anne in Green Bay, hi.
Hello. Well, I'm one of the still undecided voters, believe it or not. I'm not sure if I'm going to hold my nose and vote for Clinton or if I'm going to vote my conscience and vote for Jill Stein. I am so concerned about our environmental issues. I don't know how anyone could vote for Donald Trump or Ron Johnson, who are both totally anti-climate change, anti-environmentalists. But that's my dilemma. We need to do something with our environment. We don't have four more years to waste. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet.
What will move you? When are you going to make the decision?
Probably Tuesday afternoon when I vote.
Really?
Yep.
All right. Thanks very much, Anne, for your call.
Yep.
Thank you. 800-486-8655. David in Ironwood, hello.
I have a friend that was a lifetime Democrat, and he got together with one of his Republican friends, and they figured their votes would cancel, so they made a pledge to vote third party. And I have to agree with the ladies. The climate change is really important. But I like the way we have voting up here with OCR. You mark your ballot. But if you make the wrong thing, it kicks it back so you can correct it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in many places you make the wrong thing, then they throw your ballot out because, you know, no chance to correct it. If you, like, where this way, they could, you know, you know you did it wrong, and they give you a new ballot to mark correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And for the handicap, they can have a machine to mark it off, you know,
mm-hmm.
print out OCR, and then you have a paper trail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right,
that's
David.
It.
Thanks very, very much. I don't know if you're like me, but I check that ballot so carefully. I go over it like 5 times to make sure I've voted for everything I should be voting for and to make sure that it's all in order. Let's go to Mary in Pewaukee. Hi, Mary.
Well, hi. Thank
Hi.
You very much for the opportunity.
Sure.
I am going to be voting for Dr. Jill Stein. So for me, it's easy. So the people that can't stand Trump, which most of the people that are voting for him, I understand, are not as educated and are, well, obviously they must have some form of bigotry. And global warming, exactly. So I'm voting for the person that is for the Green Party. And I don't have to hold my nose when I vote, and I already actually did send in my vote.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for the call. Bob in Minocqua. Hello, Bob.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
You know, with regard to the voting booths and polls themselves, I have never experienced anything that's detrimental to the voting process. But prior to that, in terms of selecting which candidate you'd go for, I think there's just too much lying on either side. Every 4 years, they come out and they talk about building the middle class. They talk about raising taxes on the rich. They talk about the poor and the programs they're going to provide. And in the interim, nothing seems to get done. I'm 55. When I was 5 years old, educating black kids in the city of Milwaukee was a problem. At 30 years old, it was a problem. At 50 years old, it was a problem. I'm 55. It's still a problem. Where are the results of these promises? And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
So, Bob, are you going to vote?
I'm going to vote. Yes, I am going to vote. But this is probably the only presidential election which I'll sit out on.
Really?
But I do have a bottom ticket that I'm interested in. So I'm going to show up at the polls. And my reason for not voting for a president is I just think we have two bad choices. I'm embarrassed that this country has so many brilliant people, and we have these two. So, yeah, it's a little disconcerting. I think it's disconcerting to the international world, and we put ourselves in this position because politicians have not done what they've promised over the years, and so.
All right, Bob.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You betcha.
We go by Jeannie in Appleton. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Okay, Jeannie. How are you?
We're doing good today.
Good.
The reason I'm calling in is I was listening to your show. I do a lot of driving and a lot of traveling for my job. So my husband and I both are finally getting home tonight again, are voting tonight. So we are going to vote prior to the election. But the one real concern I have is, and Bob just kind of brought it up a little bit, is the amount of lying that's going on. And it has to do a lot with the media, not so much with radio, but when you get onto the big TV shows, the CNNs, the MSNs, the Fox, you know, all the major networks and things like that, when they go ahead and they show something that has happened, they only give you a piece or a glimpse of the entire statement that was made. And what really bothers me about that is my son, this is his first election he can vote in. He goes to college. He's going for pre-med and everything else. But, you know, he's one of his classes. They asked who's voting, and not one hand went up in the entire class.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm thinking that is such a shame because this is, you know, a privilege to be able to vote in the United States. And I asked him, when he told me this, I asked him why. And he said, well, a couple kids answered, but everyone pretty much agreed. it's because there is so much going on in the media that they really can't get a full grasp of what each candidate has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to agree with them 100%, and I said, well, what you have to do is you got to list out kind of the things and priorities that are important to you, and hopefully if you can listen to any of their debates or any of their speeches, see if you can pull that out of either one.
Right.
And whether or not he gets to vote or not and goes and votes, we're not sure.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to push him that way, but it's just really sad. And I know their school, and he goes to a large school, but I know his school. I know many others, friends that I talk to that have kids at college. Same thing when it comes to their first and second time voting. It's just they're all kind of at a standstill.
Thank you very much, Jeannie, for your reporting. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Keith in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Keith.
I'm calling with a comment basically about Trump. I just can't believe he's still actually a candidate. Any one of a number of things that he's said or done would have sunk any previous candidate many times over. I'm still kind of in shock about that.
So who are you voting for? You don't have to say if you don't want.
I'll be voting for Hillary. And, you know, having said what I just said, I don't have any great love for Hillary. I was a Bernie supporter,
but
I certainly cannot let Trump win.
Thank you, Keith. Thanks very much for the call. And our number is 800-486-8655. One line is open. We're just opening the lines to you a couple days before the election. Where are you? What are you taking away from this election? Are you voting with enthusiasm? Are you not voting for the top of the ticket? What are you thinking about the candidates? What do you think about the future? 800-486-8655. Mary in La Crosse. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. I just tuned in just a little bit ago in time to hear the lady that was surprised there was curbside voting. Several years ago, I took the Chief Election Inspector course and was an inspector for years and not able to this year because of health reasons. But what I wish is that more people were aware of the election laws, and I think every politician should be a poll worker. They should take the classes and realize how seriously these laws are taken and how secure our voting is. And the other person that said something about a ballot being thrown away, no ballots are thrown away. They are all stored. And you can ruin three ballots and get another one. So if you ruin one, it isn't thrown away. Okay, the one you ruined is thrown away. I will take that back. But it's destroyed.
Right.
It is destroyed. And I am supporting Hillary, and I have from the beginning, because I do believe in qualifications, and I believe she is the most qualified candidate. One of the things that I like is that she does have such strong historical memory, and I think that's so important. It's too bad that more people aren't history majors and are aware of the history of how things are in the world and in the United States. And I think a reason I told the young man that answered the phone,
Scotty, yeah,
that so many people, when they say they don't like her, I'm always puzzled why, except that being in a position of leadership, I know people are just plain threatened often with strong, confident women.
All right, Mary, thanks very much for all of your thoughts. And we are going to give you a rundown of what we'll be doing for the election, but we do want you to know that there's this site that's important for getting information about voting in the state of Wisconsin, and you are invited to go to that site anytime now to find out about what's going on locally. It's wisconsinvote.org. Information on local and national candidates, how to vote, all of that. So that's a really good resource for you to have. Claire in Madison is next. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Claire.
This is a great idea for today, Kathleen.
Yeah, we thought it would be time.
I love your staff, Scotty, KP.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I know.
This is great.
They are.
I've called your show enough that some of your listeners might remember in the past. I was, and still am actually, a big Bernie supporter. But I beg everybody out there that loved Bernie, please do not vote third party. This is too crucial. Please follow Bernie's lead. Bernie knows his stuff. Bernie is saying we've got to go with Hillary now. And if enough people go third party, we could end up with Donald Trump as our next president, a man who, with no political experience, a man who, in my personal opinion and from research I've done, is a psychopath, is totally unpredictable, thin-skinned, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, we just cannot have Donald Trump as president. It's too scary. So everybody out there, please, I know it's tough if you weren't a Hillary supporter, but at least she's got the experience, and she's come to the left. And Bernie will still be there to influence, and hopefully we'll have a better nation because of it.
Thanks, Claire, for your call. Some emails coming in. Mary in Madison, I'm excited to vote next week on Tuesday, even though I won't be voting for my top pick. I have chosen to cast my vote early because I've not chosen to cast it early because I enjoy standing in line at the polls and seeing how many other people are participating in the process. Lee sends an email. She says she's concerned that some people are voting early. She says that there's been so much concerning reporting lately, who knows what news is going to break tomorrow or the next day. So she's concerned about early voting without all the info. Let's go to Michelle in Menominee. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have never actually ever called into a radio show.
Well,
this
thanks
is my
for
first
calling,
time,
Michelle. What a day, huh?
Yeah. I'm actually so terrified at some of the conversation happening as I listened to the radio today that I just had to call in. I think the thing that's really alarming me is that all the discussion about the third party voting, and that the specifically people saying that they don't want to see Trump as president, therefore they're voting third party, voting their conscience, they're voting third party for whatever reason. But in my mind, if you're voting third party, that's a vote for Trump, because it's taking away votes for Hillary. If you truly don't want to see Trump as president, newsflash, third-party candidates are not going to win. You need to be voting for Hillary. You literally could be casting a vote for Trump by voting third-party. And it's just terrifying me. I do not want to wake up on November 9th and have Donald Trump as my president.
Thanks, Michelle, for your thoughts. And thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Call again.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Rick in La Crosse. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you doing today?
All right, you?
Great, I'm doing great.
Good.
I'm just calling to say that, you know, the people who are saying that they're not going to vote are going to opt out. I would just like to remind us all that men and women in this country have fought and died for our right to cast a vote. And I think that it's our obligation to do the best we can to have our voices heard through the ballot box.
I'm with you. I love voting. I've always loved voting. And it's true.
Yeah, it's a duty, and it's an honor to the people that have fought and died for our right to do that.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye. Larry in Princeton. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's ridiculous the amount of investigations against the Clintons that the mean-spirited Republicans have put forth. I can't understand why there is something wrong with having somebody as our president that is experienced and knowledgeable. Since when is knowledge and experience a bad thing? I'm with Hillary Clinton 100%. Nothing ever sticks to them, and nothing ever will, because they do not commit crimes.
Have you always, was she your first choice during the whole year and a half, Larry?
Yes, she was. I like Bernie Sanders. I did, but I voted in the primary. I voted for Hillary all the way.
All right. Thanks, Larry, very much for your call. Karen in Janesville, hi.
Hi, I'm calling to say that I'm going to test my vote for Trump. And these people that are calling in saying that I'm racist or I'm stupid or I'm a redneck because of it, how about people start doing their research and realizing that Hillary Clinton, if somebody did one-tenth of the things she's done with the Clinton Foundation and the paper play, an FBI investigation now into it, saying 99% they're positive that other countries have hacked her emails, and now Russia and China have her secret documents. Disgusting. That woman is a liar. She belongs in prison, and how anyone can vote for her is beyond me, and I hope our first female president is not somebody that belongs in jail.
Do you have any concerns about Trump?
Well, of course I do, but at least it's not as stupid as that. Most of his stuff has been taken out of context. He's not racist. He's not sexist. It's people pretending that he is, and people down doing the research.
Okay.
Listening to the biased media.
Thank you, Karen, very much for your call. Let's go to Lou in Appleton. Hi, Lou.
Taking my call.
Yeah.
I think a Trump presidency would be a complete disaster for this nation. The man is absolutely not fit to be the president of the greatest country in the world. I'm dismayed at how anybody can possibly feel that he's a candidate for this most important election. So I'll be voting Clinton all the way.
And she was your first choice?
Well, I'm kind of holding my tongue, but she is vastly superior to anything that Donald Trump can offer.
All right. Thanks, Lou, very much for the call. We decided to open the lines. Last chance we'll have to do this just a few days before the election to find out what you're thinking about this last year and a half. Somebody say it's been too long. Let's cut it down to 6 weeks. Wouldn't that be better? I think it would be better. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. And our email is talk@wpr.org. Leave messages on our Facebook page, too. We like to read them. It's the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-486-8655. Randy in Keewascom. Hello, Randy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
As far as the presidential side, it's like I'm not sure what I'm going to do there because they're both two sides of the same coin. They're totally awful. I'm more concerned about the Senate race. I'm very scared that Russ Feingold's going to be able to lie his way back in. I mean, a fake Mr. Clean, somebody who set up his own scam pack, funneled 95% of the money to both himself and his cronies. And then to hear that he's being has ads put up by the Humane Society of the United States, because his daughter works for him, dark money that he's supposedly against. There's an organization that is anti-hunting, anti-fishing, anti-trapping, and anti-animal agriculture. So any farmer out there that votes for Feingold is saying, I want to go and cut my throat.
All right, Randy, thanks very much for your thoughts. We go to another Randy in Forest. Hi, Randy.
Hey, this is a great show. Thanks for doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm casting my vote for Evan McMullen out of Utah. The guy's got a real chance of capturing the state of Utah right now and might throw this thing into the Electoral College where either Hillary or Don Trump get the adequate votes in the Electoral College.
All right, Randy. And were you always for him? Well, he didn't announce. I can't remember when he announced.
No, he's just very recently announced.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
Boy, he is,
a few months ago.
He's coming on strong. Yep.
So were you looking for someone like him to appear, or were you originally with somebody else?
No, I kept waiting for somebody to rise and shine, and Cal hey, a fractious day, somebody arose on the horizon where my conscience could feel good and right about casting a vote right there. And I just hope that 60% of the voting public says to Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, no, we don't want you as our president.
Thanks, Randy, for the call. And here we have an answer about the ballot determination. Thanks for getting this information. Here's how the ballot order is determined. At a partisan general election, such as governor or president, the ballot order is determined by which political party's candidate received the most votes in the last general election. Governor Walker received the most votes in the 2010 general election, so Republican candidates were first on the 2012 general election ballot. So that's that story. Let's go to Louis in Wausau. Hello, Louis.
Hello. I would like to comment that party is more important than candidate, and that people who are being swayed by all the personal attacks are being hornswoggled, conned, when their real interests lie in party. And there is a big difference between the parties, and people should ponder that and pull only one switch or fill only one blank if that's possible.
And what's the importance of party, Louis?
Well, the importance in party is that the party that comes in there, for one thing, gets to appoint 4,000 unvetted, unelected people mm-hmm. who will come in there, some with a range of motives and expectations, but they can do a lot of good or a lot of damage, and that that there is an important difference in which party are the hawks, which party have the righteous, that's not the right word, word on the economy, and other issues such as race, religion, sex, jingoism, which are much used to sway people's opinions.
All right. Thank you very much, Louis, for your call. Let's go to Katie in Janesville. Hi, Katie.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I am also writing in Evan McMullen. I can't, with the two main candidates, Trump is not, he hasn't changed since the first time that we ever heard about him so many years ago. He's still the same man that faults anything that he feels like. The comments that have been made that he makes about women, to be honest with you, those are comments that I hear every day, and I have for probably 30 or 40 years. Things haven't changed that much, but neither has he. And with Hillary listening to debates, when she was talking about the nuclear stuff, that right there, I'm sorry, if you're able to forget yourself in the middle of a debate and give out sensitive information like that, it draws question as to everything else. Up until that point, I kind of was willing to give her the benefit of the doubt, but I have too many relatives in the military and are going into the military to trust her anymore.
All right. Thank you, Katie, very much for your call. Bob in Madison. Hi, Bob.
How's it going, Kathleen?
Fine, Bob. How are you?
I am just doing the Beltline thing, having a bunch of fun.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make just couple of brief little comments. First of all, I've been in business and marketing for 35 years, and I don't like either one, but if you vote for a third party, you're putting Trump in office. That's just the end of the story. That we've got the game that we've got. That's the only one we can play, and we either play it their way or we don't play it, and we end up with a problem. And the problem I see is I've got one person. I don't care what sex they are. I don't care what she has or hasn't been proven, because so far this is a country of you are innocent until proven guilty. Somehow we've forgotten that along our way. But this woman has traveled the world. She's got stuff on people that we don't even know about. She knows the personality of the players on the chessboard of this world. And that's the person I want. Now, I don't like the whole thing, the way it's going with the two-party system and with the blocking of, all the things that are trying to be done. It's just one against the other. It's a house divided against itself. But let me tell you something. When it comes to business, it's not what you know. It's who you know. And I sure don't want somebody that's up at 3 o'clock in the morning texting some woman and trying to get a payback in the Oval Office with his finger on a pen, let alone the nuclear trigger.
All right, Bob. Thanks very much for your call. Michael sends this email. I'm a socialist-leaning, very green liberal Democrat. I support Hillary all the way. Please don't let the right win this election. Connie in Mount Horeb is next. Hello, Connie.
Hi. I'm just dismayed by the number of people that don't want to vote, and I carry with me to my election site a postcard written to my great-grandmother in 1912. It says, "This is a fine election day, is it not? Too bad that the women can't go up and vote."
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that long ago, was it?
It wasn't that long ago. I want to give it to the Historical Society, but I keep taking it on election day because it just it's just important to me.
I understand. Thanks, Connie.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye. We go to Gary in Duluth. Hi, Gary.
Afternoon.
Afternoon, Gary.
I was leaning Bernie. I'm all for Hillary. I think she's probably the right person for this time in America. She's educated. She's intelligent. I believe she's concerned about the right things, especially climate change, which Donald Trump is a climate change denier. To me, Donald Trump is the embodiment of everything that's dysfunctional about the United States. He is primarily a prototypical patriarchal male with the patriarchal male attitudes of aggression and blame. He wants, it's been said that 80% of politics, especially for Republicans, is figuring out who to blame. Denies all his issues and blames everything else on other people.
All right, Gary, thank you very much for your call. Donna is next, traveling through. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd just like to make a comment on the process in general. And that is, you know, we complain or are disappointed at the quality or caliber of candidates that we have to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that one of the reasons for that is that I can tell you I know so many people who would be great at representing their constituency, but whose lives or whose relatives' lives or whose friends' lives would never stand up to the kind of digging and scrutiny and microscopic invasion of privacy that we put our candidates through. And they just would never subject the people that they care about to that kind of scrutiny.
It's pretty intense, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And some of it is just so completely irrelevant and none of our darn business.
Thank you very much, Donna, for your call. Let's go to Buck in Sturgeon Bay. Hi.
Hi. I just got to say that we can't vote for Hillary because my wife, Carol, and I have been married for 24 years, and we're both self-employed, and we just got our renewal for our Affordable Care Act insurance. And our premium, and we have a stripped-down plan, is a couple hundred dollars short of twice what our mortgage is. We're driving cars with 150,000 miles on them because we can't afford a car because all of our money is going for health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no end in sight, and they say it's going to keep going up. We're paying, and my opinion is that people who are voting for this Affordable Care Act are probably state employees who get health insurance, even though I know the package has been stripped, but they get it, retired people, or trust fund people who have unlimited money.
So you
and
think
we're working day and night.
I'm hearing you. Do you think the Republicans offer you something different and more attractive?
Well, I do, because way back when they said change is good, vote for Obama for change, I'm going to vote for change too and say something better than this has got to exist. Because
all right, Buck, thank you very much. And we're going to be doing a show on that. We give us till after the election. One more phone call, Jim in Mayville. Hi, Jim.
Hello there.
Yeah, quickly, Jim.
I will be with Hillary. I voted for Bernie Sanders.
Uh-huh.
I will be for Hillary. And, you know, like the guy was talking about Obamacare, I've been self-employed all my life.
All right, I'm afraid we can't get to Obamacare, but we're glad to get your thoughts about voting. And thanks, everybody. We've had a lot of calls. I appreciate your thoughtfulness on this and staying with us for a year and a half covering this. Oh, my gosh. Thanks to KP Whaley and Scotty Myers, the best, for producing and doing on-air production here. Really interesting show on Orson Welles. It's on tape, I'm sorry, but I got to go to the dentist so I can talk on Monday, right, and Tuesday. Thanks very much for listening. News is ahead from National Public Radio, and we thank you for being here today. All Things Political on Monday.